Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
I'm sick. God could heal me, but apparently he won't. That's a bitter pill for many to swallow, so much so that they leave the Christian faith altogether. How to handle it when the answer is no? An issue we'll address today as Pastor Erwin Lutzer talks about his new book on unanswered prayer. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Why doesn't God answer my prayers? That's the title of Erwin Lutzer's new book, a book we'd like each of our listeners to have. Here again to discuss that book is Pastor Lutzer, along with Pastor Larry McCarthy.
This is Pastor Lutzer, and I'm so glad that you have joined us today for a discussion on my new book entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? The subtitle is A Biblical Guide to God's Hidden Purposes. Now, at the end of this program, you're going to be receiving info as to how this book can be yours. I feel very deeply that it's going to be a blessing to you, but also think about those who have left the Christian faith. Perhaps you have children, or you know other people within your church or your community who have said to themselves, because God didn't answer my prayers, I'm out of here. I'm abandoning the Christian faith. Like one man said to me, what good is God to me? He said it in anger because his wife miscarried, and he, of course, was expecting that she would have their first child. So he left with anger toward God. What good is God if he doesn't heal, if he doesn't take care of my needs, and if he doesn't do what I think a good God should? Those are the kinds of questions that we attempt to answer biblically in this book. Now, joining me today is Larry McCarthy. He's one of the pastors here at the Moody Church. He's the pastor of Compassion Ministries and also Outreach. Larry, welcome to another discussion of Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers?
Pastor Lutzer, it is my honor to be here with you, and I just think this book is going to bless so many people. You've covered so much territory that we've already covered, that prayer is so much more than just getting what we need. It's about developing friendship, fellowship with God, that when we pray, we want to obey and give thanks and commit and submit. But we come to something that I hear all the time that people are wrestling with in their walk. Let me see if I got this straight. You're telling me that God could, that he can, that he's able, but he won't.
And that's exactly what makes people angry, and they often leave the Christian faith. Well, today we're actually in chapter 7. Chapter 7 has to do with how do we manage our disappointment with God? And that, of course, is exactly what you brought up, Larry. We are disappointed because he can, but he won't. Can you imagine this? The author of the book of Hebrews says to believers that you accepted joyfully the plundering of your property. Larry, do you know of anyone who would accept joyfully the plundering of their property?
Not unless it's some kind of insurance fraud, no.
All right, yeah. I just read that and I say, that's not me. I don't think I'd have been able to handle that the way the early Christians did. But as the author says, it's because you know that you have a better heritage. And it's the future that you are looking at. It's eternity that you are looking at and not time. But I want us to zero in on Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Larry, as you know, Hebrews 11 is a very famous chapter because it's a catalog of heroes, many of whom saw miracles.
Yes. Many heroes of the faith are listed here, and they did see miraculous things accomplished, but that's not what got my full attention here. It's those who didn't see the miraculous things, that other list that's here in Hebrews 11. You want to speak to that?
I want to speak to that because I've often pondered that. You know, when I was younger, I would read Hebrews chapter 11 and think that the purpose was to show all of the miracles that the heroes of God made throughout the centuries. You know, they raised people from the dead. They saw, of course, the miracle of crossing the Red Sea. Moses is listed. Abraham is listed. All of these people, they saw miracles. And only upon closer examination, Larry, did I realize that there's a break in verse 35.
Yes.
Now, all of our listeners have to know that the breaking up of Scripture into chapters and verses was done arbitrarily. I don't mean that it was simply done casually. They did it carefully. The intention was so that we'd be able to find passages more quickly. But I think they made a big mistake in verse 35. Mm-hmm. They should have said this is a separate verse. As a matter of fact, it's a separate category. Because the author goes on to say, and I'm doing this from memory, you know, what more shall I say? And then he lists other miracles. And then he gets into verse 35. And he says, but others, some, he says, they endured persecution. And after that, he begins to talk about what they went through. They were hunted down. They hid in caves and in dungeons and were persecuted and were put to death. And I'm reading it and I'm saying, where are the miracles? There are none. I want everyone to listen to this carefully, Larry. The purpose of Hebrews 11 is not to show us how faith produces miracles, though sometimes it does, but to show us that faith sometimes does not produce miracles, and sometimes the greatest of faith is to believe God when we don't see a miracle.
Yes, and this chapter makes that really clear. Our faith and our circumstances, and even though our circumstances, we can't use our circumstances to weaken our faith or weaken our perspective that God is still very much in control. I wonder, though, can we linger a little bit on and just talk about martyrdom and the way that they died and how that in itself drew people to the truth of the gospel?
Larry, I want to tell you that not too long ago I visited a country, I won't tell you which one, where I saw the way in which people were persecuted. Here is a room where someone was tied down, he was vilified, he was left there to die, and was tortured. But next door, through a thin wall, someone else was lying in a bed listening to the screams of his friend so that he would know that he was next and that this is what he would have to endure. You and I have no idea of what people have endured. And much of this is in Hebrews chapter 11, near the end of that chapter. In fact, I won't even take out time to tell you the way in which people died in horrid ways. But they believed in another world. Now, there are several lessons that grow out of this. Faith sometimes changes our circumstances. Obviously, you have the miracles. But faith sometimes doesn't change our circumstances. And the folks that go on from verse 35 and following here in Hebrews chapter 11, they also made the catalog of faith, even though they didn't see a miracle and they died as martyrs. So that's important to learn. But here's the basic lesson for all of us. Faith does not judge God by miracles. Faith doesn't say that because God didn't come through the way in which I think he should have, I'm leaving the Christian faith. Faith says, I believe that what God does is just. And the other thing that I want to emphasize is, you notice that there was a difference between the two, and God gets to choose. This person gets a miracle, this person doesn't. but blessed are they who go on believing no matter what. You remember when John the Baptist was in prison, he sent a delegation and said to Jesus, are you the one that we should be looking for, or should we look for somebody else? Because he wasn't seeing the kingdom being brought in the way in which he thought.
Well, he's locked up. He's like, if you're bringing the kingdom, why am I locked up?
Exactly. And then Jesus goes and says, you know, tell him how the dead are being raised and so forth. But then Jesus said this, of those born of women, none is greater than John the Baptist. Now, I want everyone to pause for a moment and to ask this question. When did Jesus say that? He said that when John the Baptist was in prison having doubts. So to all those of you who doubt, honest doubts before God are completely welcomed.
Oh, that's good.
So come to God with your doubts. And what we need to do is to not judge God by circumstances, but believe that he knows best.
Pastor Lutzer, in this chapter, you reference the plague and how people died in the plague and how the way they were dying drew people to truth. Why use that example in this context here?
Well, the reason I use the example is because Cyprian, who wrote about the plague, said that Christianity would never have spread across North Africa were it not for the plagues. When pagans die, and I've done funerals where the person who died was an unbeliever, there is just so much hopelessness. And the Christians died with hope. They knew that there was another world out there, that they were going to experience the presence of God. And Cyprian said, the people saw how differently Christians died, and they said that the Christians carry their dead as if in triumph. Now, in this book, and I want to emphasize again that it's entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? The subtitle, A Biblical Guide to God's Hidden Purposes. We have to move on, Larry, to chapter 8.
Okay.
Chapter 8 is getting beyond our requests to God.
All right, fill in the blanks for me. What does that mean? Or are you saying, I want to, for our listeners, I'm sure some of them are saying, well, wait a minute. Are you saying I'm not supposed to ask God for things and healing and blessings and promotions and a spouse? Am I not supposed to ask for stuff?
We can ask God for anything, and we're invited to.
Yes.
We make our requests known unto God. But notice that the Apostle Paul, when he says that, doesn't go on to say, and you're going to get exactly what you requested. He says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind. This is one of the last days for you to receive the book entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? A Biblical Guide to God's Hidden Purposes. To receive your copy, here's what you do. Go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com, or pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001.
You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Next time, join Pastors Erwin Lutzer and Larry McCarthy for more on the Why of Unanswered Prayer. Pastor's new book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers, will be sent for your gift of any amount. Call 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.